Are you a fashionable person? I am not. I look like a disgrace at this point in time, and I'm grateful that you can't see me. But fashion, it's everywhere, on our streets and our screens, in our identities as well. But for First Nations communities across Australia, fashion isn't just about self-expression or trend. It's a powerful form of storytelling, resistance, and reclamation. Indigenous fashion is emerging as a space where country, kinship, and culture are not only honoured but made visible, which is woven into every design, every print, every walk down the runway. It's a movement that resists erasure and pushes back against the appropriation and exclusion that First Nations people have long experienced in the fashion industry. So let's dive deeper into this intersection of art, identity, and resistance. To do that, we're joined by Dr. Trina Clark, Chancellor's Indigenous Research Fellow at the Faculty of Design and Society at UTS in Sydney. Dr. Clark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. I mentioned it briefly there in that intro that there is something different and unique in the role that fashion plays in First Nations culture and resistance. Can you walk us through what that is?
It's always been a connection to culture and country and storytelling, and that's been the same way since traditional days. A lot of wear had stories etched into it or symbols that described different communities or different stories they want to tell. So that has continued on even when clothing was, it was an attempt to control clothing and to eradicate culture through that. So it has continued, and now in this day and age and space, people can really showcase who they are culturally through their fashion and style.
Yeah. You write in your piece in the conversation about wearing your dad's old Aboriginal rugby jersey and how deeply personal that piece of clothing is for you. Can you talk about how garments like that carry cultural and emotional meaning?
Yeah, it's on multiple levels, which I think everyone can relate to, is having a family member who has passed away, gives you an item. A T-shirt from my dad has been, it's a really personal item that I hold very deeply and I very rarely wear, but it connects me to him. And then the fact that it is an Aboriginal flag shirt that he wore in his rugby team in Adelaide holds even more significance, because it's very cool looking as well. It's very retro.
Oh, awesome.
It's an old-fashioned Aboriginal type of garment. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Walk us through the role that fashion's played in protest movements.
It has a long history, all the way back to invasion in Sydney in the late 1700s, early 1800s. So people then were wearing Western garments in a way to resist and protest, and that continued down with people continuing to wear cultural garments at events, at colonial events that, shocked the people there, maybe wearing like bones in their noses or different type of adornment, and that continued down until it was very overt protest wear. So one of my favourite stories was in the 1920s in London, and Anthony Martin Fernando wore a cloak that was covered in toy skeletons, and so he was chanting at the front of Australia House about the conditions that First Nations people are treated and live in, and that was a very overt form of protest. But before then, a lot of people would walk to the cities. So, for example, Corindon Reserve in Victoria, they would walk to Melbourne in different garments of attire. That was a form of protest in itself, and then they'd deliver petitions. And then when the Aboriginal flag came into the picture, that's when it really exploded, I guess, in terms of visual protest wear.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. I want to circle back to your dad's jersey. You highlight in your article how even small items like a pin or a hoodie can carry powerful meaning. How do those sort of everyday choices function as acts of cultural visibility and resistance?
If you're wearing family garments rings and jewelry, and just in terms of cultural as well, a lot of people wear pins, and so they'll place their pins on their clothes and their bags predominantly. Even crocs have little adornments with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander designs on them. And jewelry is a big one. They're so easy to wear, like particularly people who wear earrings. They're so easy to just add to any type of outfit, so you don't have to wear any, I guess, overt and over-the-top Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander garments. But if you have some woven jewelry or ones with, you know, the flag on it, it's a nice way to show your connection to culture, but it's not in your face, particularly if you're at work.
Yeah. And looking ahead, how do you see the future of First Nations fashion evolving?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm not sure. I research across both First Nations fashion design and style and art, and I guess it's the intersection and the weaving of all three of them is that's really going to showcase something in the future. So a lot of fashion designers are artists, and a lot of artists become fashion designers, and a lot of community members become fashion designers and artists, and it's a whole weaving of all different types of practices. And so community members can dictate style that the fashion designers take on, and the same with artists. So I think in the future that's just going to continue and get even bigger, and more experimental designs as well, showcasing culture. So we'll see that.
Dr. Trina Clark, thank you so much for making the time this morning.
Thank you.
No worries. Dr. Trina Clark, a Chancellor's Indigenous Research Fellow at the Faculty of Design and Society at the University of Technology in Sydney.